It is true that a little bit of knowledge can actually be dangerous. Having grown up Catholic, gone to Catholic school, I knew this story of the wedding feast of Cana. But back in my days of not going to church and living the life I wanted to live, I actually used this gospel reading, this passage, as a way to justify my, what shall we say, Friday and Saturday evening activities. Hey, if they ran out of wine and they've drunk freely, Jesus gave more. Can't be wrong for me then, right? Oh boy, did I have it wrong. I didn't know what I didn't know. The importance of wine in the Jewish tradition can't be overstated. Wine plays a significant role, not from the standpoint of consumption, for the sake of consumption. It plays a significant role in the most important spiritual celebrations in the Jewish tradition. Most importantly would be the Passover. And I'll get to that in just a second. But in the wedding celebration, there were two cups of wine that are consumed that mark the two stages of marriage. The first is the betrothal, which took place at the bride's parents' home. And when she accepted, the wine would be consumed. It was an outward signification of that deeper reality of her yes. Then, after the separation, up to a year, when the bride would enter into the groom's home after it was designed and built, then there was another cup of wine that was drunk, signifying the nuptials, the finalization, if you will, of the wedding bond, of the marriage bond. The importance of wine in the Passover which the Mass fulfills. Remember, Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Everything in the New Testament fulfills what came before. It doesn't wipe it away, including the Passover, which is fulfilled here. And there are four stages to the Passover. Each of those stages signified at its conclusion by the consumption of a glass or a cup, a chalice of wine. And then there's that fourth cup, which is not for the purpose of our readings tonight, but I'll give you a little glimpse for Holy Week. That fourth cup is consumed on the cross. So when they run out of wine, this wasn't the sign of, uh-oh, the party's dying. People are going to get mad because they just didn't plan properly and they want to have a little more wine and music. This is a spiritual problem. So important was wine. Imagine, if you will, well, you don't have to imagine if you remember this actually happened here shortly after I got here. Imagine if there was no bread consecrated. Does that sound familiar? That happened here. Yes, it did. Or there was no wine. There'd be no Mass. That's what was happening here. Now, notice, when they have this is a crisis. It's not a hyperbole. This was a crisis of spiritual proportions. Where did they go? The text reads that Mary was there, the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Jesus and his disciples were there. Word already was out in his public ministry that he had these, well, shall we say, interesting abilities. Who'd they go to? They could have gone to Jesus. But they didn't. They went to Mary. In time of crisis, they went to the mother of Jesus. And what did she do? She did not say, "I'll take care of it. I got it." She brought them to her son. You see, Mary couldn't do anything about it on her own. She's a human being. She's a human person. Only her son, only God could fix this. That she knew. And she simply said, "Do whatever he tells you." You ever been in a crisis? Maybe you're in one right now. Maybe you have a situation looming on the horizon that you know you don't have the ability to handle, but you're going to have to face it. Maybe you just look at what's going on in the world today. Lord, what do we do? Go to Mary. This isn't simply Catholic piety. This is real. Mary has intercessory power with her son. In the spiritual tradition of the church, particularly in the Eastern rites, so we have the Latin rite, which we belong to, and then the Eastern rites, and there are, I guess I'll never commit this to memory. And there's 20-some Eastern rites in union with the church. And a lot of their decor of their churches is what's called iconography. It's kind of a different looking imagery of whoever it's depicting. And there's an icon in the Eastern rite tradition where the Blessed Mother has her hand raised up, her right arm raised up with a gold band on it. And what that signifies is the intercessory power of Mary. In the tradition of kingdoms, when the king was holding court, when he was passing judgment and making decisions, once those proceedings began, there was only one person who could interrupt them without fear of death. And that was the king's mother. And when the king's mother would interrupt that proceeding, she would do so because somebody had approached her and said, "Would you please intercede for me with your son?" In other words, "Would you pray for me?" You ever use that phrase? You know, pray tell. That means, "I pray you tell me." And people would go to the king's mother and say, "I pray you tell your son to rule favorably for me, to help me." And so when somebody approached the king's mother, she would don this gold bracelet, the attendants would open the doors, and she would walk in and hold it up like this. And the king would have to cease the proceedings out of respect for his mother. And then she would approach her son, and she would take the petition of those who approached her and would give them to her son. And the son had to obey his mother. That's what happens because between Mary and Jesus, because Jesus perfectly fulfills the Ten Commandments. What's the fourth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. Jesus has to listen to his mom, even though he's God and she's not. Motherhood trumps divinity, believe it or not. Tell that to your kids. But it's true. And so, yes, can we go directly to God? Of course we can. But when you're in a crisis, go to your mama. She'll pray for you. She'll get it done in accordance with his will. And that will be the best.